verse 13, it says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, I had a couple of titles for the message, but I think this would be more beneficial for you because it envelops the three points of my message, and it is our weakness, our help, and our healing. Our weakness, what is our weakness? The weak hands that hang down and the feeble knees. What is our help? Our help is lift up. Encouragement is our help. Encouragement, lift up, make straight paths for your feet. And we know this, healing is of the Lord. So these are the three points I'll have in the message. But I want us to go back a little ways and kind of walk through this together as the apostle has for us. Now, remember the intent of his message here is encouragement. Encouraging these saints who have left all, who are now persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is encouraging these saints to continue in the faith. He reminds them that all of their troubles, all of our difficulties, all of our afflictions are not by chance, but rather designed of God to train us up in the way we should go. And so he mentions this in verse 5 about chastisement. He said, my son, don't forget this, my children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. And so then, believers, see that our Father is always faithful in training us up in the way we should go. That our Heavenly Father's hand of chastisement by no means is designed to destroy you, but rather to instruct you. See that either we are given gentle rebukes or whether it is severe trouble we are in, either one. We should know this and remember that God deals with you as with sons. This should be absorb the blow of his chastening rod. This should comfort us to know when we are chastened, that we are chastened not as bastards, but sons. Sons. God only chastens sons, those he loves. This means that we were adopted. If we're sons, it's by the eternal adoption of the Father. If we are sons, it is because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are sons, it is because we've been called and quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. And seeing our Father only purposes us good and not evil, we must be chastened of Him, and we must trust His love, His wisdom, His power, and His grace when we are. Trust. To believe on Him that all He intends is good. He said in Luke chapter 11, He said, you fathers, do you know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more does God know how to give that which is good to His children? He said, if His children ask of Him a bread, will He give them a stone? If He wants a fish, will He give them a scorpion? No. Our Father knows what you have need of. Our God, our Father, will not give us that which is harmful, but what is good. So what do you have? Believer, what do you have? Are you chastened? Are you chastened of God? And consider God's discipline an act of love. An act of love. and not an act of wrath. Remember, you're not being punished for your sins. Your sins were punished in Christ. You are being chastened so as to keep you in the faith. You're being chastened of God. Now in verses 9 and 10, he says, he expounds on this about our fathers. He said, we had fathers of our own flesh. We respected them. We gave them reverence. And they chastened us for what? Their own pleasure. I tell you the truth, we as fathers and parents, we chasten for what we think is right, what we think is good. Now, we love our children. Why do we say, be quiet? We get tired of hearing them. It's our pleasure. Now, they should respect us. But listen, God is not such a God as to do things for His profit. He does it for your benefit. He chastens you for your profit. Shall we not be in subjection to the Father of light spirits and live? For verily they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And so then he tells us that this chastening, he said this chastening is not joyous but grievous. He's being honest here. This is not easy. The hill is steep. The way is hard and rough. There is no doubt. It's grievous and not joyous. I remember John Powers. John Powers came to me and he said, you know, I was watching those singers on television all the time. Gaithers, what he said. He said, I saw the Gaithers on television. You know what really gets me is that they're always so super happy. I said, don't worry, John, that's just a front. They're just putting on a show. That's not how it really is for the believer. The believer's life is tough. It's hard. It's grievous. Why? Because we are always constantly trained up by our God. You realize that everything that happens is a training for us. Everything that happens, God intentionally means to teach us something by it. Our Father is ever engaged in training us up. And so it's grievous, it's hurtful, but what is it for? Look at verse 11. No chastening seemeth at the present joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised therein. You remember in Galatians, Paul mentions the fruits of the Spirit. And this is the fruit here he is talking about, the fruits of the Spirit. What does chastening of God produce in the believer? A peaceable fruit of righteousness, love, joy, meekness, long-suffering. Isn't that what he said? Tribulation worketh what? Patience, long-suffering. Goodness, faith, temperance. Doesn't these trials cause us to be moderate as to how we treat the things of this world? We hold on loosely to the things of this world. Matter of fact, we count them as dead to us. That's how we're supposed to view everything, as dead. So that if we lose it, we lose nothing. This is what chastening teaches us. It takes these things out of our hands. It pries our hands loose of the things of the world. Now then, I ask you, sons of God, do you need to grow in these fruits? Are there any of these fruits that you have maxed out? That you've made the limit? Love. You maxed out on love? Faith? You maxed out on that? You can't grow anymore? No, we can always grow. And God realizes this and causes us to grow through suffering, through tribulation. And so we all need these things. Therefore, God uses this. We need to grow in these fruits. He gives us the new birth, and yet He will cause us to grow. We must be a better witness for Christ. We desire to take better care of our brethren and love them and serve our Lord Jesus. So then Paul begins then in verse 12 to exhort the brethren who are bowed down in trouble. Those who are weary, weak, and tired, and cast down, he now exhorts them, and listen, he says this to you weak and weary by the chastening hand of God. Lift up your hands that hang down. And the feeble knees. The feeble knees. He exhorts us. He encourages us to continue in this race that we are set on. Believer, he said, run with patience the race that is set before you. You see a runner, and he is bowed down. He is low. Don't look like he can take another step. And then you have someone coming alongside of him, helping him, encouraging him. It's okay. We'll make it. And he gains some encouragement. He gains some strength, and then he picks up his stride again. This is how it is with us in our race. He encourages us to continue to walk. And he says this, make straight paths for your feet. This road we are on is straight and narrow. It has one object, one goal, and one way. Don't be turned aside to any other way. That's the encouragement. The encouragement is, lift up your hands. Now then, go straight. Go straight to glory. We are headed to glory. That's where this road leads. And so then there are three things in these two verses. He says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. There's warning for us. But rather, let it be healed. And these are the three things. First of all, we should see our weakness in this. Our weakness, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Then he not only shows us our weakness, but he shows us the encouragement, lift up. Though you're weak, yet here's the help you need. Lift up. Lift up. Make straight paths for your feet. Why? Because you need to be healed. Lest you fall away, you must be healed. And so first, let's look at this, the weakness of all believers. I know at times we are lifted up on eagle's wings. At times, the believer feels so full of strength when the presence of God is so near. When Christ is so real to us, when the Word of God comes in power and demonstration of the Spirit, we're so full of strength we could take on anything. That's a good feeling. Every believer's had it. We understand what that is. We're so full of faith and love for Christ. We so closely walk with Him. We feel so washed from our sins. The Holy Ghost is poured out to us in power. We feel so strong and confident. Now, I'd like to feel that way all the time. I would. I would love to have that. That only happens after death. You're only going to feel that way in a full measure only when this body is laid in the ground. But until then, we're always going to feel that way. We're like Elijah. When he had that clear word of God, he said, Elijah, you go before these false prophets of Baal, and I'm going to answer by fire. I will answer. He had that clear message in his head. His clear message was given to him, a promise, and it was sure. So sure was he of that promise that he stood before those prophets of Baal, and he made fun of their God. 400 prophets, one prophet of God. He says, you're God on vacation? Maybe he's taking a walk. You need to just yell some more. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. He mocked their God. How confident is that? Is that not what we desire, to be that confident, that bold, as to believe God's word concerning Christ? We should be that bold. And at times, believers are that bold. We love that when we are bold like him. So courageous that even when God answered by fire, he slew 400 of those prophets. Chased them off. Slew them. What's the very next thing you see about Elijah? He's hiding in a cave because he's scared of a woman. Jezebel said, I'll kill that prophet. And there Elijah goes running away like a scared child. Why? He's weak. In the scripture tell us that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. And so when we are found hiding in a cave, trembling, what do we need? You need this exhortation. Lift up your hands that hang down and strengthen your feeble knees. Lift up your hands, and we are so often weary in the foundation of your knees of faith that are shaken. We need encouragement, therefore, in our times of strength, we never lose sight of this. We are altogether by nature weakness. Even when you're strong, you should realize what you are. If any man thinketh he stand, what? Take heed, lest he fall. And how should you fall except you not remember what you are? It is vitally important that we remember that we are weakness. That is all we are. Weakness. Weakness. The Lord calls us sheep for a reason. Because sheep are the most stupid and weak animals there are. This is not flattering, is it? But it's honest. It's something believers know about themselves. The world, they don't like it. Believers know this about ourselves. We are the Lord's sheep. Sheep are easily exhausted, easily fearful, prone to wonder, and defenseless. Oftentimes sheep are either made by their own foolish actions or by their wandering or by the shepherd's rod have their feet to be broken. I found this in a book written by a believer who was on the 23rd Psalm. He said those sheep that are prone to wander, he said sheep by nature are stubborn. They're stubborn. And sometimes a sheep is so stubborn that even the rod of the shepherd upon his back still does not keep him from wandering. And what the shepherd does in that instance is that he must, for the life of the sheep, break his feet. He must break his leg. And so the Lord oftentimes gives gentle reproofs. My son, don't do that. And then we still do. So he comes in stronger terms and changes our circumstances and makes it more painful. And sometimes we still will not listen. Sometimes he must break our feet. But when he does he leave us to ourselves? No. As a shepherd does, he would bind the wound that he broke and bear the sheep on his own shoulders until he is capable of walking again. Is it not so with us? In our weakness, we take our eyes off Christ. Our proneness is to cease to depend upon Christ and to depend upon our own strength, our own logic, our own human wisdom, so as to forsake Him who alone can feed us and care for us. The world says be self-dependent. Isn't that the world? The world and the nature of man is you need to be more self-sufficient. You need to be independent. They say independence is a show of strength. But God says, you being independent is a sign of your weakness. It's a sign of your weakness. We are, as soon as we look to ourselves, it feels free, doesn't it? When you look to yourselves, you feel a little free. Like, oh man, I got a little skip in my step. I'm doing well. But we know that that does not last long. We feel strong and sufficient, but soon we are made again to see the weakness of ourselves. Our hands begin to hang down and our knees begin to shake. Soon our hands drop and our knees wobble. Our strength is gone and we are again exposed to the truth. We are nothing but weakness. So this morning, are you weak? Are you weary in your walk with God? Are you like Asaph when he said, my feet were almost gone, my steps had nigh well slipped? Well, how do I know if I'm in weakness? Is prayer difficult? Is it a burden to pray? Is it a burden to read? Do you set other things above the worship of God? My friends, you are bowed down and your weak knees are shaking. I know oftentimes we come to this word, we read and we read, and the words begin to run together. They have no effect on our hearts. Why? Because you have no strength. You've relied upon yourself, and you found yourself to be utter weakness. Now listen, no believer ever intends on backsliding. You know that? Nobody ever sets out to backslide, right? Nobody. Nobody sets out to be set us to turn out of the way. But yet we are prone to it. And if you don't realize this soon, you will be turned out of the way. Prone to these fits of weakness. How weak and feeble are we? How easily are we tempted to leave off the course and to forsake the worship and word of God? How easily do we give to the cause of our pleasures rather than giving to the service of God? How foolishly do we put on weights instead of casting them off? How prone are we to unbelief? Which, what? Is the sin that does so easily beset us. Is unbelief. And then when we are about to faint, about to despair, we say, why? Why? Well, the answer is clear. Because of our weakness. Because we have sought our own way and not believed God. Yet here are the words to the long-suffering grace of God. Though you are weak, though you are prone to wonder, prone to leave the God you love, here God says this to you. Lift up. It's all right. Lift up those hands that hang down and strengthen those feeble knees. In other words, continue on in your duty. Continue on in your service. Continue on and gain strength. Why? I'm with you. Why is it that you're just weak and not falling away? Because you have strength still. You have strength, not in you. I am your strength. I am your strength. I'm the reason you're still here. That's what God says. Therefore, when I give you this command, with command is there not power to obey? When God gives His people command, lift up your hands and strengthen your knees, is there not power that goes with that? Yes. There's always power to go with His command. Lift up, God says, your hands which hang down your feeble knees. We are exhorted to active duty, to be courageous against every foe, to do good, to be of good cheer, which can only be by the casting off of the burdens of this world. So you weak? Here it is. Throw off every burden. Throw it off! And lift up your hands in praise to God. Throw it off. What does it say? Casting all your care upon Him. Now your weakness is this. Your cares for the things of this world. That is a weakness. Cast it off. You put too much weight on yourself. Set it aside. Set aside that sin that does easily so beset you and believe God. The Scripture, when you were born again of the Spirit of God, when the gospel came to you, did it not come in power so that you might obey? It did. The Scripture came in power of the Holy Ghost and it said, believe on the Son of God, which you had no power to do of yourself. But when the Word came with power, it also came with ability, right? You were then able to believe. And here it is, the Word, when it comes in power in your weakness, it says lift up. And so what do? You're able then with this power to lift up. Listen to what the hymn writer said. We like to sing this song. Though bound down with 10,000 ties, let me hear thy call. My soul shall in confidence rise, shall rise and break through all. Are you bound down? Are you weak? Well, with this command comes strength. Lift up. Lift up and be strengthened. Now then, the second thing is, how does God help the weak? How does God help the weak? Well, let me ask you this. How did this word come to you? Now, we know this is a word of God, isn't it? Lift up. Matter of fact, we're going to see this in just a minute, that this is a prophecy in Isaiah that he is quoting here. Paul is quoting a prophecy of Isaiah. Lift up. Well, so then this is the Word of God, but how did it come to you? Well, God used this man, the Apostle Paul, to write it to you. God helps the weak. He does so through the encouragement and the means of His saints. Now, today, I am encouraging you. This is God's intent by this Word, using this man to encourage you who are weak. Lift up. He uses the means of His saints. Here the Apostle Paul used the Word of God to encourage us in our time of need, so I, as well as a child of God, as well as other children of God, may come alongside you in your time of weakness and encourage you. Encourage you. Eliphaz said this to Job, which should have been an encouragement to him. He said, behold, thou hast instructed many and hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Who did that? Job did. God used Job in many instances to strengthen his brethren. And so then, let's go to that prophecy. Let's go to Isaiah 35. Go to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste. I'm sorry, I got the wrong passage here. Hold on. What's that? 3. Okay, I'm in the wrong book. That's be the, praise God. Thank you. See, you encourage me to go the right place. I had the wrong one marked. I knew that wasn't right. There it is. Okay. Verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, saying to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Are you weak and are you wearied, brother? Are you hobbling along in this race? Then let us all come alongside that one who is weak. Come alongside as Isaiah here was constructed of God. He said, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. What is he coming for? He's coming to save you. See then in the performance of this duty and fulfillment of the command of Christ, by this we are loving brethren. Loving brethren. Our Lord says this, love you one another. Now how is this love exercised? It's not just a sentimental thing, is it? When we say we love one another, when we're commanded to love one another, it's not just some natural outward thing that is to only benefit ourselves. No, it has got to be a true, intimate love for the brethren. It's not only in word, but it must be in action. In action. In Galatians, it says, the apostle says this, exhibiting brotherly love is this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man be weary, if a man be, his hands are hanging down, his knees are very feeble, you which are strong, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, what? Considering your weakness, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the idea of one who has a broken limb. This idea that Paul says in Galatians. He says, you that restore such an one. If you had a broken arm and someone was to restore it, how would you desire that to be restored? Would you desire someone harsh? Someone cold in his hands. Someone quick. No, you want someone gentle. This is how we're to restore those who are weak and feeble. You see a weak brother, you don't condemn him. You rather try to bring him up. You encourage him. And how should you encourage him? Here it is. Thy God is coming. That's an encouragement. To do what? To save you. God is coming to save you. That's an encouragement to us. Look at Christ. Look to Christ. That's the encouragement here that causes us to lift up our hands and strengthen our feeble knees. We're to strengthen these feeble knees of our brethren, not by the force of rebuke, but with gentleness and patience, considering ourselves. Now then, he says in verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, God's healing of these lame folk. How does God heal the lame? He says this, make straight paths for your feet. Religion doesn't make straight paths. They're very confusing. A man's weary and he's troubled, and what do? They give him a whole bunch of things to do. They make his way harder. They set stumbling stones in front of the man, obstacles that he must overcome. No, in order for God to heal his people, he clears the path. He makes that path as plain and clear and free of obstacles as he can. Make straight paths for your feet. This refers to the believer's walk. Now, to the religion, there's many paths, many ways a man can go. But we know this. But in order to restore a true believer, we must set them on the right path. The only path. The straight and narrow path, which is not law, but grace. Mercy. Grace and mercy. The only way declared by the Word of God, the only path for the feet of the saints is Christ. Scripture says in Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." The old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest. You see, our path is an old path. It's not a new path. It's the same old path. God's eternal election. Christ's perfect redemption. The Holy Spirit's effectual call and keeping of the saints. This is the old path. Our gospel is as old as God. It's as strong as God. It's as sure as God. It's as eternal as God. Behold, thy God cometh to save you. Be strong in the straight path that always sets our eyes on Jesus Christ. Add nothing to the gospel, take nothing from it. Neglect not to worship the God in His ordinances, in prayer and praise. Do not neglect the exhortations of thy brethren, lest you become weary. But let rather that which is lame be healed. We all have this lame nature to bear. We all have this weak nature. So then, in our times of strength, let us then care for those who are lame. If you saw someone broken and twisted and laying on the ground, would you not have compassion? Now, believers, I want you to consider those in our own congregation who are right now weak and weary. Those who have seemingly turned aside out of the way. Why should we not come alongside them and encourage them to come back? We should. We should. This is our brotherly love for them. We should come alongside them, and I am convicted of my own self. We should call and care for them and hope that God would be gracious to bring them back. You know that faith is the evidence of our election and redemption, but what's the evidence of our faith? Love. Faith without love is not real faith. And so then, if we really believe, we would really love. And if we would really love, we should really pity those who have turned away. We should call and care for them. Call on them to return what? And set a straight path for them. We leave no obstacles. If they desire to come, we leave nothing here for them to do. Just come. Come back. Worship God. Believe on Christ. The way is open. There's no obstacles for you to return. No program for you to go through. No disciplinary action. No! I like this. Isaiah 57. I'm going to read this and I'll close. Make sure I go to the right book this time. Isaiah 57 and verse 14. This is what God says to His church concerning His gospel. He says, "Cast ye up. Cast ye up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, talking about his chastisement. Isn't that good? Isn't that something to encourage you that he's not always going to be wroth in his chastisement? For the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. Now, is that not encouragement? Cast up the stumbling blocks. Here it is. Even though you've been rebellious, here's what God says. I'll heal you. I'll heal you. I will lead him also. Isn't that the right path? He said, set a straight path. He said, God said, I'll set him in the path. I'll restore the comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Is that not encouragement enough? This is how we're to deal with the brethren who are weary. Now listen, we're all weary at times. God will chasten us because we are his sons, and we will be weary. Our hands will hang down, but here's the help. He says, lift up. And how does he do it? He does it by the brethren, by using us, his church, to call his people to lift up their hands and be encouraged. Why? I will heal thee. Even though you've rebelled against me, I'll heal you. We cast up every obstacle out of their way so they can return, so they can be healed. I do pray that God would heal the weary. Use us to do so. But listen, if a man will not be healed, what is the evidence of that? Nothing but apostasy. If a man will not heed, and he will not turn back to Christ, it's because that man never had faith to begin with. God keep us from such things. I pray, Will, in Jesus' name.